In this section, we're going to be talking about the building lease, equipment lease, sign lease. But the most important thing you're going to be running into is the building lease. Years ago, when we first started putting on programs, the thing we basically stayed away from was a building lease because we assumed that people going through our different programs in business had gone out and signed leases. They rented buildings, homes, things like that, apartments. So they were familiar with leasing. Lo and behold, about 2 years after we got involved in the program, we started to find that a lot of the people going through our program were having trouble with the lease part of it. And that was a number of years ago. In the last couple of years, this has become even more of a problem. As we go through this, I hope to relate to you the different problems. Now, as you go through this, you're going to find there's a lot of standard, what we call boilerplate, or standard paragraphs in different leases. As you start going out to work on leases, I want you to keep in mind that there is a lot of standardization out there, which you'll become familiar with. The thing you have to remember as you start to get involved in lease, remember, when you're going out to buy an existing business and there already is a lease in place, you can renegotiate different parts of it and get the owner of the real estate to change that lease. The only thing you have to keep in mind when you're working on a lease is you have a basic problem. And what is the basic problem? You have to do it before you close. Because if you want to be in the driver's seat or at least be on the same level as the owner of the real estate, you have to negotiate these different changes before you take over the business. You're going to find that if you do it after you take over, and you've closed, and you're already the new owner, you're going to find that you're really not going to have a lot of leverage in working with the seller or the owner of the real estate, and you're going to find it's not going to work too well. So try it that way. One of the first things I'd like to mention before we even get involved in this would be a thing called triple net. And what we have is different categories of leases, if you look at the first page, called percentage leases. Before we even get into the percentage lease, I'd like to talk to you about triple net. Because people are going to mention a thing called triple net. And what is triple net? Triple net basically means that the person that owns the business or the person called the lessee, because in a lease you have two different parties. You have the lessor, which is the owner of the real estate. That's the person leasing you the premises. And the lessee is the owner of the business, and that is the person that is leasing the premises. In other words, you're the person renting or leasing that space. Now, the first thing you're going to run into is triple net. And triple net means that you, the lessee, or the owner of the business, either or, you're going to find is the person that is paying the taxes, paying for the maintenance, and paying for the insurance. And each one of the things are net. If you're only paying two of these three, it would be a double net. But in most of the areas, it's a triple net. This allows the owner of the real estate, whatever it happens to be, to lease this back to you or rent this to you and for a basic rent, and then have you pay the other areas, maintenance, pay for the insurance, pay for the taxes. Sometimes the triple net has to do with paying the taxes above what they're paying today. Sometimes it includes all the taxes. When you get into the area of maintenance, you may find in certain cases you're paying for the maintenance on all the building, and in other areas you may find the lessee is paying for the maintenance on the inside of the building, and the owner of the real estate pays for the maintenance on the outside. Insurance also could be the same. You could be paying for all the insurance required, or you might even be paying for just the increase in the insurance. Again, all these things are negotiable. And even though many times the owner of the real estate is going to hand you a contract, a standard form, with very few blanks, do not let that intimidate you. And what I'd like you to do is go through it, and if you want to change things, change things. And we're going to go through a number of these areas right now. The other thing I suggest you do, because when you get down to the final point, when you're going to buy that business, I suggest you then at that time bring in an attorney to have him check that final lease. You're also going to find, for those of you starting a business, I suggest that when you do get the lease back from the seller or the owner of the real estate, I suggest what you do is go to an attorney and have him review it. Most leases that are signed between owners of real estate and beginning business owners are 1,001% in favor of the owner of the real estate. And the reason for that is the average person starting a business in this country does not know what they're doing. Number two, they don't get an attorney. They use the attorney of the seller. And they also have read this crazy book on how to do it, on how to start your own business for under so many dollars. And what happens is it misleads them, gives them a lot of bad information. So what I'd like you to do is go out and bring in the professionals also. Again, you're going to say, gosh, this is expensive. Well, you're going to have to do it. Because if you don't spend the money in these areas, what you're going to find is you're not saving at all. And you're going to eventually end up failing. Let's start going into the different categories of lease on the first page. And you'll find that the first thing we have is a thing called a percentage lease. And what we have, first of all, is a percentage against a minimum. A percentage against a minimum means that the amount of lease payment is $1,000 a month or 5% of sales, whichever is greater. Not less, naturally, whichever is greater. So it's a percentage against a minimum. It's either one or the other, whichever is greater. Now, years ago, we used to have a lot of leases like this, percentage against the minimum. And as you go around, you'll find some of the older leases are still percentage against the minimum. The category that you're going to run into most often is number two here, which is a minimum plus a percentage. And the owner of the business, owner of the real estate, is going to want $1,000 a month plus a percentage of your sales every year or every month, whatever it happens to be. A minimum plus a percentage. And why do they want this? As real estate prices have gone up and owners of real estate have found that they're not getting a return, what they try to do is come back with leases like this, minimum plus a percentage, to increase the return so they end up getting a legitimate return on the real estate they have. You, on the other hand, are going to find that all of this is going to cut into your profit. And because of this, we end up with a battle continually between the lessor and the lessee. And by battle, I'm talking about one trying to increase the rent or the lease payments because they're trying to get a normal return on their business or a good return, where you, on the other hand, owning the business, are going to find that this ends up eating into your profit. Because in many cases, these increases in your lease payments are going up faster than you're going to find your profits going up. In fact, that's one of the biggest problems we have with lease today around the country, and that is our lease costs or our cost of rent of the facility we're in is actually going up faster than we are raising our prices. They're going up faster than the inflation rate. And when you have that, it eats into your profit. And this is just one area. And as you're in business, you better keep in mind there's going to be a number of categories that keep increasing faster than what you're doing, increasing profit and sales. And as this happens, you're going to find there's only one place it can come from. It doesn't come from the government. It comes directly out of your profit. And eventually, this great business you've been running or this great business you own all of a sudden was making X number of thousand a year, is now making a lot less, and eventually you lose money and you go down the tubes. The next category, which is percentage no minimum. On a lease like this, and again, we see this quite often with the large supermarkets or drugstores that are basically the anchor tenants where you have 14 or 15 stores. And in order to get people like this into their stores, the people that originally leased these out signed a lease that really isn't very good because it's a percentage no minimum. So if that large supermarket does move out or that large drug chain does move out, what you're going to find is when you have a percentage no minimum, even though they just moved down the street to a larger store for themselves, they don't really have to worry about the lease because they only have very small cost out of pocket. Why? Because once they move out and there's no sales, how much money do you, the owner of the real estate, get? So percentage no minimum is normally not a very good lease for an owner of the real estate. It's better for you, the business owner. So keep that in mind as I go through this and tell you the good news and bad news. If you're on the real estate side, this one's not going to be too good. If you're a person on the other side, which is the owner of the business, you've done very well. This lease is going to have more value. The last area that we want to talk about is a thing called a maximum rental. And we see this quite often with anchor tenants in the very large regional malls where they have been able to negotiate a rental or a lease payment with the owner of the real estate or the mall. And they then build in very fine print or in a last page of the contract a thing called a maximum rental, which states that although they are starting off paying $100,000 a year for lease payments, this amount during the 5, 10, 15, 20-year lease will never go beyond a certain amount. And again, in the past, most owners of the real estate did not get hurt by this because as long as the inflation was running, say, under 5%, it didn't hurt them. What we have found in the last few years, as we've had a few years where the inflation rate has been over 5 and over 10%, these people are now starting to find that they are having to add, and these large anchor tenants are now paying $200,000 a year in rent, and all the extra now is having to be picked up by the owner of the real estate. What does that do to the real estate value? Knocks it down. Since we're now taking it not from the real estate side, but from the side of you, the person owning that business, this also is a very good clause to have built in your lease if you can get it in there. Next category we're talking about here, we're talking about parties. We're talking about parties to the transaction. And the first thing you're going to run into is a security deposit. Now, when you're going through these tapes, I want you to realize we have people that are going through this that are buyers. We have brokers. We also have sellers. And so as I start to go through this area, I want to change hats from time to time. In this area here, the first thing we're looking for is security deposit. If you're coming in from the buyer's standpoint or you're the agent representing the buyer, what you'd like to do, if we have a large security deposit, is have the seller add it to the financing. Later on in this program, as you start to think about it and you wonder how do we find out about this, you're going to find out by going to the balance sheet. As soon as possible, you're going to find that you can find out what deposits the owner of the business has put up. And it could be a security deposit on a lease, which we're talking about here, but it could also could be a security deposit on utilities. And this is especially true on newer businesses or businesses in trouble. As the businesses do well, most of the security deposits are refunded. Those are on the utilities. In this area, we're talking about a lease, and most often you're going to find the security deposits on leases are not refunded. And it might be $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 we're talking about. So we try to get the owner to add it to the financing over a 10, 15, 20-year period. If the owner balks at this, we'll then sidestep, ask the owner why, and the owner will say, well, gosh, I don't want to finance that over that much time. We then will ask him for a side promissory note for maybe only 5 years to pay it over that period of time. And usually they say yes. You have to remember, if you want to have the seller finance these deposits, you have to do it in the beginning. If you do it at the end, the owner will have spent this money in his or her mind. In the beginning, they've forgotten about the deposit, so it's easy to get them to negotiate this. Now, for those of you representing a seller, or those of you that are going to be sellers of businesses, what do we want to do on our deposits? Naturally, we want our little cash. What is the reality of it? We usually find that we end up somewhere between the two things we talked about, some financing, some cash. The next thing you're going to run into, you're going to need on a lease, is the first and last 2 months' rent in advance. And again, this is about the maximum we run into. Sometimes I want 4 months' rent, but normally it's 3 months' rent. If you're coming in from the buyer's standpoint, you want to provide yourself with some financing. The thing you have to realize is it is possible, through negotiation with the seller right in the beginning, to get them to go along with the first month's rent and maybe one of the last two, which means they're financing one of them for you, which is fine. Once I've gotten them to agree with that, what I'd like to get it down to is what? I'd like to get it down to the point where I'm just putting up the first month's rent, which I'm basically, you're going to find, able to do it out of the cash flow of the business. So that's pretty good. Now, taking it from the other side again, I just want to mention, if you happen to be the seller of the business, naturally you want what? You want everything back. You want the first and last 2 months. It also gives you security, especially if you're going to remain on the lease. Because as we get into this later, you're going to find that you are the lessee, and in most cases, you're going to end up as a lessee, and the next person buying it from you is going to end up as a sub-lessee. One of the things we should start telling you about right now, especially if you're selling a business, you're going to find in most cases in this country, you are not going to get off the lease. Why? Because the owner of the real estate would like to keep you on and then allow you to sublet to the next person. That way, they have two people to go after if somebody doesn't make the payments. So you better keep that in mind when you sell a business because you may get stuck. What I normally do when I'm doing something like this, I will have the owner, the new sublessee, make the payments directly to me. And then I make the payments to the other person. And incidentally, this is basically a sandwich lease. And to do this, to cover my expense, I will usually charge the person under me more of a lease payment than they're actually that I have to pay. Why do I do this? To cover my risk. And the other area is, let's face it, I'm in business to make a profit. And if I can make a profit on a lease also, I'll do that. The next category, terms. As you start to think about terms, again, we're talking about the terms of the lease. And as you get involved, there's two areas that you have to think about. Number one is the option to renew. Because when you go out in the next couple of weeks and talk to different business owners, they're going to say, I have a five-year lease. Can I have two five-year options? Now, that's great. In certain businesses, you're going to want long options. You're going to want a long term in that business. But again, you may want some flexibility because if you made it for 15 years with four 20-year options, what you're going to find is you're tied up for long periods of time. And you're going to find areas do change. And although you're going to be very nervous about the lease being very short or the lease not being for a lifetime, you have to realize the area that you're going to be in basically may fall apart. It will fall apart. And you're going to find that you may want to move down the street. You may want to move across town. And although most of you have this great fear about moving your business, in most businesses, the movement doesn't hurt your business at all. In manufacturing, in distributorships, in service businesses. Now, in some retail business, it may hurt you, but you're going to find you're not going to be moving that far. And in most cases, you may end up paying more rent as you renegotiate a new lease. But say you're moving from a downtown area in retail, and you're moving into a regional mall. You're paying a little more. But you're going to find in paying more and moving your location, you're going to have a better location, more foot traffic. And you're going to find that although you're paying more, your profit's going to go up substantially, which means the additional profit each year is going to justify that move or that new location. And what you should do is not get hung up on that. Also, if you're working as a buyer and you're in there negotiating with a seller to get financing and you get hung up on the fact that the lease only has 5 years to go and you're trying to get 20-year financing, you're not going to get it because then you're going to make the seller worry about it. Because you don't want to think terminally. And even though the lease only has so many years to go, you don't dive the business into the ground, which is what a lot of small business owners do. You have to realize you have a five-year lease, and you're going to renegotiate it, and you're going to renew it, and then you're going to move to other areas, and you're going to keep moving. It is not the end of the line when the lease runs out. In fact, of all the years I've been in this teaching for over 10 years now, We've only had it come back a couple of times where people have a psychological problem. And once you get over that, it's not something you worry about. It's like worrying about a planet going out of orbit and crashing into the Earth. That's possible, but why do you worry about crazy things like that? The next thing is an agreement to agree, because on most options to renew, not most of them, we have found in the last couple of years over 50% of them we have a problem. Why? Because the person starting the business read this crazy book on how to start a business, and it said, get an option to renew. It doesn't tell them what the detail is. It doesn't tell them in the books that the option to renew has to spell out all the details of the new contract. And what happens is the owner of the real estate sits down with their attorney and said, look, why don't you give them a 47C? Was it 47C? It says, the owner of the real estate and the owner of the business at the end of the 5 or 10 year period will sit down and discuss a new contract or a new lease. That's not an agreement. We call that an agreement to agree. And what you're going to find is, although you think, or the seller of the business thinks, that he or she has a legitimate option to renew, there is no option to renew. So make sure you check those in detail and don't assume anything.
This concludes Side 1. To continue, please turn the cassette over.